Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't want my son serving alongside troops who are out of shape or in combat unit with females who can't meet the same combat arms physical standards as men.
That was Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth a while back talking about women in the military, and CNN had an in-depth story about just the negative narrative around the Secretary of Defense is pushing around women in the military, as well as women who are qualified in the military not getting spots or being pushed out of spots for which they qualified and which they earned. And joining us now is CNN's national security reporter, Haley Britsky. Haley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This story was tough to read. It's frustrating. And as we get into the details of it, will you set the table a bit of what exactly the Secretary of Defense is saying, has been saying, and then the consequences of that?
Absolutely. I mean, so like we just heard a few minutes ago, he has made his perspective on this quite clear, both before he became the Secretary of Defense in various podcast interviews, in the book that he wrote just last year, and more frequently as he's taken on this new role, Secretary of Defense, in conversations, with other general officers. We saw his speech to a broad group of general officers at Quantico in Virginia just a couple of months ago. And he has made very clear that he does not believe that women in combat positions are meeting the standards for those positions. He said in Quantico, if they can meet those standards, then great. But if they can't, and if that means that women do not have any of these combat roles, then so be it. And so he has repeatedly cast doubt on the idea that women are meeting those rigorous standards for combat positions. And it really is having a direct impact on the morale of women that we spoke with. We spoke with over a dozen active duty women around the different military branches who all, were frustrated that they felt the secretary was not understanding that they worked incredibly hard to get to where they are, that they were meeting those standards, and they feel that their service is not being valued anymore under this leadership.
Yeah, and just as a note here, women make up 18% of the U.S. military, and what the Secretary of Defense was implying, or at least I think a superficial takeaway would be, man, most women in the military, it's like a DEI hire. They're not meeting the standards and they're kind of bringing us down. He acted as if the qualified women might be the exception.
That's right. Yeah, he has sort of perpetuated this idea and this narrative that Many women who were in these roles only got to be there because they are women and because that leadership was trying to meet, you know, a quota, so to speak, of having women in leadership positions. He said specifically about Admiral Lisa Franchetti, who was the chief of the Navy. She was the first woman in the joint staff, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he wrote about her in his book last year that she was a DEI hire, and he has since removed her from her position. So he has perpetuated this narrative that largely women are not meeting these standards, and that is just not matching, you know, what we are hearing, not only from women that we spoke with for this story, but also men in combat arms, men in infantry units who are very senior in those units, who also told us, you know, I have not seen any direct examples of standards being lowered for women for them to take on these positions. If anything, you know, they think that they probably had to undergo additional scrutiny, that they had to work twice as hard in order to prove themselves to take on these more difficult positions.
Does he have actual evidence that this is a problem or has been a problem in the military, or is this just kind of part of the whole, like Amy said, anti-DEI thing that they think politically works for them?
You know, it's a good question, and it's one that we actually asked directly to the Pentagon as we were reporting out this story. We asked for specific examples that they could point to of women not meeting these standards that they were aware of, and they did not provide any examples to us. And so I'm not sure what examples he may be looking at. I have not found specific examples in our reporting. I spoke with a senior male officer in combat arms, and I asked him, you know, in your experience, he's been doing this for, you know, more than two decades. Have you seen specific examples of this? And he said, I haven't. It's been more of a, you know, hearing someone who heard a story long ago and kind of tells this story of, you know, a friend of a friend saw this happen. I have not found that to be the case as far as finding examples, and the Pentagon was not able to provide any. So I'm not quite sure what the secretary is looking at specifically when he's talking about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I know, you know, my story here is anecdotal, but I was talking to a friend about this very thing, because I can see how, you know, for instance, no women are or ever have been Navy SEALs, just like some of the requirements right now have been a barrier to entry. And, you know, they're not going to lower their standards for women. That's the way it is. But there are women in combat roles. And I was talking to my friend about this, and he served for many years in the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he spoke so highly of the women he served alongside, and their, not just their qualifications for the roles, but that there were never any standards lowered for them, and how, you know, they would have died for each other. I mean, they were in positions where they might have done that. And I wasn't necessarily expecting that response. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. And I was really, really moved by his praise. And he said it's offensive to think that the military was lowering their standards for the women he served alongside.
Yeah, I mean, one of the women I spoke with, she graduated the Army's Ranger School, which is a grueling course to go through. She went on to serve in the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is even more rare for women to take on a role in the regiment. And that is a very high standards, high quality, of soldiers who serve in those units as far as physical standards and what they're able to do in combat. And, you know, she said repeatedly, you know, she was meeting the same standards as her counterparts, and they pushed her to do more and, you know, held her to that high standard, which she appreciated. And, you know, so many of these women that we spoke with who've served in those roles, they agree that the standards should be high. They want to strive for those standards, and they have. And they all told us, you know, the men that I've served with, they, once they saw them meeting those standards, they were very quickly welcomed into the unit because they saw that they were doing the same hard things that you know, the male soldiers were doing. And so it really is, I think, a difference in talking to these people who've served in these units, who have done these hard things, who've met these standards, and the soldiers around them, versus people who may not have as much firsthand experience with this, or have not spoken to as many people who maybe saw that firsthand and were in those units with women and seeing the kind of things that they were accomplishing.
So we were talking about the adverse effect it has on the military then, because you have, about a fifth of the military is female. You have people who are just generally not as interested in joining the service as they once were. So it has to have a significant effect on personnel, does it not?
So that's one of the main concerns that we kept hearing from not only people currently in the military, but from veterans and people who are experts on recruiting and retaining soldiers, that just by numbers alone, the military has to have women in the ranks in order to meet its goals as far as how many people are in uniform, what their readiness looks like, that those goals cannot be met without women in uniform. And time again, we heard from people saying, you know, this kind of rhetoric, they have concerns that it could keep young women from wanting to join. If young people generally, but certainly young women, do not feel like their service is going to be valued, that it's not going to have the same value as their male counterparts, that they may opt for a different career path because they may not want to pursue that. And so it is a concern for what that's going to look like as far as recruiting. I don't know that we're going to have a good idea of those numbers for several months, if not into next year, just given the lag time it takes for people who want to join up versus what we see in the numbers as far as how many people are shipping out to basic training and things like that. So it could be something we don't see hard numbers on for a little while, but it's certainly top of mind for people who are focusing on recruiting and retaining soldiers and Marines and airmen and sailors and making sure that the military is meeting its readiness goals, and this concern that, you know, this rhetoric is going to hinder them from doing that.
Yeah, I'm looking at a story, or looked at a story from about exactly a year ago on CNN in November of 2024, and it was Trump's defense secretary pick said women shouldn't be in combat roles. That's the headline. And then the reporters interviewed several female veterans, women who had served 10, 20 or more years in the military, and they were afraid of the ramifications. And you mentioned like morale and women not signing up. But do we know how many women have not been selected for or have been pushed out of positions for which they had been qualified?
So we've heard of multiple. During our reporting, various people we talked to said, you know, that they were aware of women in their various branches and services that were not being chosen for promotion or were being passed over out of this concern of, you know, what the political leadership may think if they see a woman taking on this leadership role. In our reporting that we put out last week, we saw that a Navy captain, this is a very distinguished officer, you know, who's injured in an IED attack in Iraq, a Purple Heart recipient. She was the first troop commander within SEAL Team 6. Important clarification, she herself is not a SEAL, but she served in a leadership position within a squadron of that unit. And that itself is quite remarkable. And that she had been selected by Navy SEAL leadership to take on a new command this summer. And, you know, just days before this command ceremony was meant to happen, the command was yanked with not a lot of explanation. There wasn't a lot of reasoning for why this happened. And so she is effectively being forced out of the military due to the Navy's policy that she doesn't have a command to take, and so therefore she has to retire. And so this was a pretty significant example that we found of a woman who, you know, had the qualifications for the job she was going into. She was selected by commanders to take on this leadership role, and with little explanation was pulled out of that. And while we asked the Pentagon specifically for why that happened and what the secretary's role, if any, there was in that decision, they didn't provide really any specific response to us on that. But many sources told us that the impression within the Naval Special Warfare community was that the Pentagon and that Secretary Hegseth did not want a woman fronting a role which would be overseeing the recruitment of special operations forces to include Navy SEALs. So there are some examples that we're seeing of this directly impacting the career of women in the military. We know of several senior ranking women who have been removed from their jobs, like Admiral Lisa Franchetti that I mentioned earlier. And so we are seeing this play out in real concrete examples of women either being removed from their positions or having those positions taken away from them with little explanation as to why.
CNN national security reporter Haley Britsky with us. And last thing before we let you go, we know that these over the last several weeks, military strikes, U.S. military strikes on suspected drug boats. And there's been a lot of, you know, skepticism about that, about who they're actually attacking, what the legality of it is. Where do we stand on that issue now? Because it's been sort of a bipartisan thing. You've got senators like Rand Paul who are not quite sure why we're doing this or whether or not it's a good idea to be doing it.
Sure. So just a couple of days, we saw the 21st strike on an alleged drug trafficking boat. It killed a few people on board. And so this has now, 21 strikes. We've seen the number of people who have been killed by these. It's over 80 people now. And there certainly is a conversation within Congress about what this is, going to look like in the future. Is this going to continue on for how long? What legal authorities do they have to be doing this? The Defense Department has not been able to provide a ton of answers to lawmakers as to, what authority they're working under and who specifically the individuals are that they're being targeted. They've said that they don't necessarily have solid, intelligence saying that they exactly who they are when they take the strikes, rather that they believe that they are part of a drug trafficking operation. So it's raising a lot of questions in Congress as to how much longer this is going to go on and what those impacts are going to be. And there's a lot of frustration within Congress as to the kind of interactions they're having with the Defense Department and the answers that they're able to get from them. So it's something that lawmakers are continuing to push on and will certainly be continuing to cover as this issue continues.
Haley, thank you for your time today and your coverage on these stories. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
CNN national security reporter Haley Britsky with us on the Chris and Amy show. We're going to talk to Major Garrett, chief Washington correspondent for CBS News. He'll be with us on a Wednesday this time because we got a big day tomorrow of broadcasting, and everything is blown out for our 100th anniversary celebration taking place all day tomorrow on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Major Garrett joins us at 10:30. All right, so we had a nice interview with Eric Reinsfelder with Rawlings, great St. Louis company. And at the Rawlings headquarters, which is at Westport Plaza, they are installing today a gigantic gold glove, which is on top of the building. It's 30 feet tall. You're going to see it from the highway. So if you're on 270 and you go by Westport Plaza, you are going to see it. And as we were talking to him, we had a loyal listener who texted in and said, I sincerely hope that Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, is up there for the glove install. If not, he'll make you redo it. And it led me to believe that this texter had some sort of beef with Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector. So we asked, and he has responded. So here's what our listener has said about Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector. He says, I love your show, and I'm honored for the dialogue. Hey, how about that? Dude is just a menace. He has actually told me that he knows better than the engineered architectural drawings. He's been doing it for over 30 years and everybody knows it. Sometimes he holds court and tells you about his glory. And he is so powerful, you have to just sit there and listen, lest you upset him and his scorn find some real or believed violation. His name strikes fear among the tradesmen who have suffered under his watchful eye. I don't know who this Brian from Maryland Heights, the inspector, is, but I need to find him.
Listen, I don't.
And why is he on a power trip? You better pack your bags for the Brian of Maryland Heights inspector power trip you're about to go on.
I don't want to disparage inspectors, but I've heard some horror stories. And Brian from Maryland Heights sounds like he's grabbed that scepter.
I would love to know what Brian from Maryland Heights, what his deal is.
He strikes fear in the hearts of tradesmen. And we love the trades. Brian's got some splaining to do.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean you love everybody that's in the trades.
You think Brian just happens to hone in on the tradesmen who deserve?
Look, I don't know.
His scorn?
I trust his ire? I trust our listeners more than I trust Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector.
Do you? Because here's a listener who says Brian for sheriff of St. Louis.
No, stop it. Okay, Brian is not the new sheriff. We have one. His name is Alfred Montgomery, and he will be found innocent today. Right?
Well,
who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?
I think he'll be found innocent of right doing.
Sir, you have done no right.
You've done nothing right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, Brian for Sheriff of St. Louis, this is not the type of text that we want to 314-436-7900.
I would like Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, to be... I'd like him to correspond with us and tell... Maybe we could talk to him and find out what his deal is.
If you know Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, have him text us at 314-436-7900. Because here's one thing that we do, Ranj. Tell both sides of the story.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta hear both sides of the story.
All I'm saying is I do trust our listeners. I don't think that our listeners would be complaining about Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector.
Yeah.
If there wasn't something wrong with him.
Right.
So I feel like he might be overstepping his bounds.
Yeah, if you're a tradesman and maybe you had a great experience with Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, or maybe he went scorched earth on you.
Mm-hmm.
314-436-7900. We'd love to hear from you.
And I'm just going to tell you right out.
Yeah.
My first question to Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, is going to be, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm. If you are causing grief.
And then you're going to follow up with, you're better than this.
Well, we don't know that. He may not be.
That's a good point.
Yeah. When somebody says you're better than that, that is one of the most irritating things. You are better than that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. This show is not up to code. It's not up to pretty much anything.
Yeah, but... we don't have a Brian the Maryland Heights inspector.
No, his name's Steve.
Steve's not worried about it. He's trying to get the HVAC fixed. Usually we talk to Major Garrett's chief Washington correspondent for CBS News on Thursdays, but because we have our big celebration of our 100th anniversary all day on KMOX tomorrow, we're going to talk to Major next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Major News with Major Garrett. Our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
We have a lot of jobs, so I just want to thank you. We've been really good friends for a long period of time. We've always been on the same side of every issue. I think we've done a great job in wiping out the nuclear capacity of Iran. Nobody else could have done that.
That was President Trump. Yesterday, speaking glowingly of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. And there were some other moments in that discussion that, at the very least, raised a lot of eyebrows. And as we mentioned, tomorrow is our celebration of 100 years of KMOX radio. And so Major Garrett, CBS chief Washington correspondent, was kind enough to change his schedule to speak with us today. And that's who we go to now. Major, thanks for being flexible.
Congratulations on 100 years, KMOX. That's a big deal. I'd be glad to was glad to move my schedule so you could have that full range of options programming wise tomorrow, because that's a very big day.
Well, we appreciate it. And especially after such a significant day yesterday.
Yeah.
this is how I set it up is in 2022, when President Biden visited Saudi Arabia and fist bumped Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah.
I was aggravated, upset. I thought it was the wrong thing to do because of the human rights violations and Jamal Khashoggi being literally chopped up. And yesterday made me forget about the fist bump because of the way the red carpet was rolled out for the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. What were your thoughts and your takeaways from that unique meeting?
Yeah, so the thing that made the fist bump was President Biden and the Crown Prince, MBS, as he is informally known, Mohammed bin Salman, was that during the primaries and the pursuit of the Democratic nomination, then candidate Joe Biden called the Saudi kingdom a pariah state because of the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, which U.S. intelligence concluded Mohammed bin Salman was responsible for. And he accepted responsibility in an interview with my colleague, Nora O'Donnell, of 60 Minutes. Yesterday in the Oval Office, when there was a question put to the Crown Prince about that, President Trump said he didn't know anything about it. Didn't know anything about it, which is not true, which is such a grotesque covering up of what actually happened, what U.S. intelligence believes happened, and what the Crown Prince himself has taken at least limited responsibility and accountability for. And in this context, it's important to note the president excoriated the reporter Mary Bruce from ABC, who asked the question in the first place. So you put these two things together. A journalist for the Washington Post, who wrote columns about the future of Saudi Arabia, was murdered in Turkey at the hands of Saudi officials that the U.S. government concluded were operating at the direction of Mohammed bin Salman. So a journalist murdered through government decision-making. And when an American free press reporter, meaning someone working for the free press protected by the First Amendment in our country, asks one question about it, not only does the president cover for the Saudi kingdom, but excoriates that reporter for having the audacity to ask it. I just point those two things out because they demonstrate a kind of mentality about a free press that is overtly hostile and far too touchy for the American presidency, historically defined. The relation between the United States and Saudi Arabia will always be complicated because there are multi-factors of U.S. interests in the region that flow through Saudi Arabia. That will always be true. It's been true since we normalized relationship with them under FDR. I had Jamal Khashoggi's widow on my program, The Takeout, last night. She acknowledged that. Her husband was murdered by the Saudis. And she said, I understand the United States needs to have relationships with Saudi. I want them to have relationships with Saudi Arabia. My dead husband wanted them to have better relationships with the Saudi kingdom. We're not talking about no relationship with the Saudi government or a full-blown embrace. We're talking about something that resides in a place of nuance, where there are financial relationships, defense relationships, but also a discussion, an adult conversation about human rights. And you can't have that if you deny Mohammed bin Salman had anything to do with Jamal Khashoggi's murder.
So, Major, with this development, I mean, there are a lot of people unhappy with what happened, at the White House yesterday and the meeting in general. But what, I don't know, I'm at this point, and I think many of us are, that nothing ever seems to come of any of that. When there is something that is highly offensive to a lot of people, that right. we just move on to the next thing.
Exactly. So now there was a period of time, about a year, and I talked to Jamal Khashoggi's widow about this on The Takeout last night. There was about a year where things were really frozen in terms of foreign direct investment in Saudi Arabia. Lots of major corporations pulled back because the civilized world was legitimately horrified by the murder, the dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi. But time has a way of softening all those things. And other issues, if not take precedence, begin to intrude on calculations. And, as I mentioned, Jamal Khashoggi's widow recognizes that. Wants more accountability in Saudi Arabia, wants direct apology from the government to her, would like to meet with President Trump about her thoughts about her husband, who the president said was a controversial figure, as if that was justification for his murder. It isn't. The president meant to imply that. He should rephrase that or make it more clear that that's not what he was suggesting. But certainly to any normal person listening to that, that might have been what they took from what the president said. So things do move on in life. But they don't have to move on with no recognition of painful truths of the past. And that's what happened yesterday afternoon, in the Oval Office. And this wasn't a state visit because the Crown Prince isn't the head of the Saudi kingdom. His father is, but he will soon be king, and he could be king for decades. So he is a significant player that the United States government under any administration will have to deal with. But what the president has decided to do is give him as much fanfare, as much celebratory pomp and circumstance that the White House can provide short of a state visit, and extol the virtues of his leadership of Saudi Arabia, downplay any concerns about human rights, labor rights, and the rest mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia, and try to elevate this relationship to what he said today was near NATO status, which is as close as you can get to the inner circle of American allied relationships.
And, you know, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but as you said, I mean, there's having a relationship is one thing, but the unreserved chumminess that Trump mm-hmm. seemed to imply with MBS, and even to the point of praising his human rights record. Like, oh, he's mm-hmm. done great for human rights, when, as we mentioned, Jamal Khashoggi was ambushed by 15 Saudi operatives and dismembered. Being gay is punishable by death in Saudi Arabia. I mean, you could mm-hmm. go down the list.
Right.
It's so over the top that we should be appalled.
We should at least make delineations about what is or isn't consistent with Western values when it comes to human rights. And this is part of a authoritarian, forgiving pattern with President Trump. He has no discouraging words about rights suppressed in Russia. He has very few discouraging words about rights suppressed in China. He has very few discouraging words about rights repressed in Saudi Arabia. This is a pattern. These are his words and his statements. You can judge them for yourself, but if you're looking for a pattern, it is to forgive and overlook in pursuit of other things that he considers to be more important. One quick thing I would point out, because I traveled with President Trump, his first trip to Saudi Arabia, when he was elected in 2016, when the first trip he took as president, 2017, we all went to Saudi Arabia. At that time, the president announced all these investment deals and all these American jobs that would be created. He exaggerated then. He exaggerated throughout his administration. And his own administration numbers now reflect the Saudis invested far less in America than they promised, created far fewer American jobs than was projected by President Trump. And so there is a kind of unreality to all these statements that the president makes about future investments, how much money is going to flow to America, how many jobs are going to be created, because he made them all the first time around. They didn't pan out. The way his own administration counted the dollars and the jobs fell far short of what he promised. And this is part of the friction of this relationship. Now, are there other things that the president wants to accomplish with the Saudis in the Middle East? Normalize relationships with Israel, which would be a very big deal. Yes. But the Saudis also have asks in the region. Administration hasn't worked those things out yet. But if Mohammed bin Salman wants to portray himself, as he clearly does, as a full-blown world figure who can go to America and have the most nasty parts of his country's regime ignored and papered over by the leader of the free world, President Trump, he achieved that yesterday and is achieving it again today.
The House overwhelmingly voted to release mm-hmm. the Epstein files. Only one person voted against it. And now it's up to the president to sign. I know some Democrats have skepticism that all of the files will be released, or that it will be done in, on an up and up sort of manner, mm-hmm. or that the Department of Justice will even do it. So what is going to happen next?
So very quickly, the Senate, by unanimous consent yesterday afternoon, agreed to pass it once it arrived. The legislation arrived this morning, and upon its arrival, it was deemed passed by the Senate and on its way to the president. If the president signs it, then under the Constitution, he has to see that laws are faithfully executed, meaning he can be challenged for the improper or unfaithful execution of this law if he puts pen to paper and signs it. How the administration decides what is faithful in terms of executing this law, releasing Epstein files, stay tuned. But last week's announcement from the president, oh, we're going to investigate Democrats, could gum all this up, because the administration could say, well, we can't release things because there's a pending investigation. Even though on July 7th, the Justice Department in a two-page memo said, we've looked at everything and there's no reason to investigate anyone further. Those two things now stand in contrast. And if the administration tries to slow this down because of new investigations, it's going to have to prove in court what's new and what suddenly they found that didn't exist in July 7th when they said no one else should be further investigated. All of this will be subject to intense scrutiny. The politics around this have shifted dramatically in the last 3 days, dramatically. Republicans were pushing this back, pushing it back, pushing it back, following the direction of President Trump. When he reversed on Sunday, all the Republicans reversed as well. Now it's going to be up to Trump's administration to live up to this law if, in fact, he signs it. And, of course, if he doesn't sign, if he vetoes it, then Congress would have to go through an override process. Clearly, there's enough votes in the House to override. With a voice vote and unanimous consent in the Senate, you can assume that there's enough votes to override. but that's a slow process as well. So there are several scenarios in which, even if the president signs this, it could get gummed up internally at the Justice Department. And if he vetoes it, that would drag things out further.
As we say goodbye, Major, quick question here. How many names can be redacted, and who decides how much they're going to redact?
Well, you can redact names of victims. That's not a problem. The Justice Department knows how to do that. That's not difficult. And the survivors have made that clear. And the lawyers representing the survivors who've been at this work for a very long time, more than three decades, know how this can be done. That is not a problem. What you have to look at in the files is a victim. Does that need to be redacted? Yes. Anything dealing with child pornography and any potential implications there of people who are now adults, who were children then, you can redact that. But there are lots of people who want names redacted just because it would do them reputational harm. Sorry, that's not what this is about. If there's reputational harm that you will suffer, Summers, Larry comes to mind, you're going to have to live with it, because Jeffrey Epstein was a bad person. There was plenty of evidence he was a bad person. There are plenty of warning signs that people should have reputationally backed away long before they did. And there may be a reckoning coming if all these files are released reputationally.
Major Garrett, we appreciate you adjusting with us. We will talk to you next Thursday.
Have a great celebration tomorrow.
Thank you.
That is Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News. You should listen to and watch the Takeout podcast. You can see that on CBS News 24/7, or you can listen to it wherever you get your podcast. So we are we're really looking forward to tomorrow, which is our 100th anniversary celebration. It's going to be a big day tomorrow after Total Information AM starting at 8. We are going to just, we're shaking it up. We're shaking up the entire lineup all day tomorrow as we celebrate KMOX's 100th year of existence. And we are very excited to be doing that. Amy's going to be on earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually starting at 10 o'clock with Dave Glover.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dave, then, you're back at noon.
Yes, because reuniting with the Charlie Brennan and Debbie Monterey. I think Chris Myhill's swinging by. We used to do this thing called OT at 8:30.
I remember.
We miss those days. That was fun.
And I will be in the 4 o'clock hour, because we're actually spending the entire hour on blues. So
that's right.
We'll be...
Not the current team.
Not the current team. We'll be honoring Dan Kelly. So we expect to talk with Dan Kelly Jr., John Kelly.
Yeah.
We've got, we're going to talk about the cup run. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That would be funny, though, if we have a whole day of celebrating KMOX 100 years, but then 4 o'clock, we just pivot and say, but this Blues team, they're struggling.
Right? No, we're going to celebrate the good stuff about the Blues historically, and because they won the Stanley Cup when they were on this station.
Right. That is
KMOX was the home of the Blues, so you need to remember that. That's why I called it the home of champions.
We are the
home of champions.
Yep.
Cardinals and Blues. And real quick, Amy, we were talking about Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector.
Poor guy.
Well, we weren't talking about him.
No, we didn't say anything.
Somebody is really upset with Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector. Okay. And so we've had multiple people who have Brian stories.
Poor Brian. We should have used a different name.
If we had used a different name, then we wouldn't have all these stories. We've got a texter who says, I am a retired union plumber, and I can verify this story about how power hungry that inspector thinks he is. He's horrible. That's one texter. Here's another one. Brian, the inspector, is a very dry guy. He doesn't get jokes, doesn't like kidding, and if he can't find anything wrong on the job, he will make something up. He'll make you do the dumbest things just to show that he has that much authority. He should be fired for running the cost of jobs up.
Wait, Brian, what if Brian has a wife and kids, maybe? He's just trying to make a living.
Well, now here's a real wrinkle being thrown in. Brian can be a little difficult, says this texter. A little difficult at times, but Peter and Stu are the problem over at Maryland Heights.
Wait, isn't that the cast of Family Guy?
Peter and Stu?
And Brian?
Stewie. Oh, my God, you're right. Peter, Stewie, and
Brian.
And Brian. Wow. Right? I don't know, man. Hey, if you know this Brian, the Maryland Heights inspector, let us know, because he is being disparaged all day on KMOX.
If there's a Lois, I'm throwing in the towel.
Oh, wow. Speaking of the 100th anniversary, yep. Amy, we have a wonderful Christmas ornament that you can purchase at Together Credit Union branches. We're going to have Nate Scuderi, who is the head of marketing at Together Credit Union, join us in just a moment. We'll talk about that and how you can get one on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.